Om Shanti. According to Dharma, it's appropriate that we should explore the subject of constant happiness today. Why? Because today, this morning, we celebrated Holi, and some enjoyed the spraying of water. Some ran away from it. Some enjoyed the dancing, and some enjoyed watching the dancing. But also, like Baba said, Holi, Hogai, finished, gone, past, whatever happened before is over. And so it's a new beginning. It's spring. In Bharat, this festival always falls at this time of spring. It's very much connected with Shivratri, coming a couple of weeks after Shivratri. And so God Shiva comes to dispel the darkness and remove our sorrow, and spring begins, a new life begins, a new chapter begins. And so for all these reasons, it's good that this is the topic today. And when I chose the topic, I wasn't thinking of Holi. I was thinking more about the two messages that Baba has given us through the whole season. Last year, last season, Baba's message was a very strong one about ever ready and suddenly. And guess what happened through 2012? What happened through 2012? And we had suddenly Tarikul Sar had a fall. We didn't have a meeting with Baba in the way that we were expecting. Dadi Janki had a fall. And now this year, so many departures of very special souls of the Yajna. So suddenly, many, many things. And that's in terms of the Yajna. And in terms of personal life, again, I'm sure, suddenly. And so ever ready was the mantra. And now, this season, just one more murali from Baba, and two messages that come very, very strongly. One, follow the Father, and Dadi Janki's been helping us look at that subject in a very deep way. But the second aspect, constant happiness. And Baba saying that Baba does not like sometimes. It's not often that Baba says, I don't like. Even with Maya, Sakar Baba says, Maya is my sweet daughter. Why? Because she sorts out the wheat from the chaff. Drama. We might not like drama sometimes, but Baba always says sweet drama. And so here's Baba using the word I don't like. Unusual for Baba. But yes, I can see that happiness is the essence of everything in terms of Gyan and Yoga. Think about how Baba uses the word sweet, sweet, sweet children, and we're not very sweet, but hearing Baba say, sweet children, we're reminded of our original stage, and we become sweet. And when Baba says sweet, it means you've removed all the negative things. Whatever it is that's bitter, whatever it is that's causing you sorrow and is making you less than sweet. And so, in one word, when Baba says sweet, it really means purity, full of all virtues, full of all talents and skills. It's all within this one word, sweet. In the same way, when Baba says constant happiness, it's actually again shorthand language for all the four subjects being in place. Situations happen in drama, and if I have clarity, proper jnana, proper understanding, I remain stable. I don't get distressed or unhappy. And so, whatever the scene may be, mind, body, wealth, relationships, anything, and the soul is able to maintain that inner state of happiness. The proof of jnana, the proof of yoga. Whatever is going on, never mind. I'm able to keep my connection with God and experience God's love, which is why I came to Baba. Maybe the first attraction was Baba's knowledge. And I know that that was for me, that the beauty of the knowledge and the amazing way in which everything fitted within the jigsaw puzzle was very beautiful for me. But of course, the purpose of that knowledge is to enable me to have yoga. And so, if I'm able to maintain an understanding of what's going on, then I'm able to maintain my quality of yoga. And then, yes, happiness is there continually, constantly within. The visible proof of my dharana, it's happiness. If things are going on inside, it's going to reflect on my face. If it's anger, if it's jealousy, if it's competition, even if it might not come into words and actions, but it's there, it's reflected. And so the quality of my dharana, again, is visible through my happiness. And the service that Baba has asked us to do, this season especially, and it's come up several times in the Murali. Your happiness, your face, and your behavior should be the way in which you do service, so that you're not having to convince people that what you're doing is good. They might not become Brahmins, they might not believe that what you believe is true, but at least they should be able to see that it's giving you an inner happiness, and so they say to you, fine, it's good for you, carry on, and give you their good wishes and their blessings. And so, Sakar Murlis, Baba's often said, the thermometer of your jnana and yoga is your happiness. And so check the degree of your happiness. And Avyakt Baba says, same idea, but Baba's saying, make sure that your happiness is constant. Many, many factors that can generate happiness within the soul. And of course, that's what we're talking about, the inner happiness, not anything external at all. Not even service. When I came to Baba properly with understanding in 1968, according to drama, somehow I was immediately given a huge platform in India for service from October 68, and I'd been in Gyan just a few months, but there was a history of connection with Baba, of course. But from October 68 through to Baba becoming Avyakt and beyond, through to May 69, it was constant service, 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 and it was very exciting. service is exciting and it lets your adrenaline go shooting up and it's very beautiful and you can see immediate results in terms of vocal service, a lot of appreciation, a lot of love. And it's very easy to become dependent on service to provide happiness. But of course, what's going to happen? And I'm sure many of you have been through this. There's a period when there's service and it's very intoxicating. Drama is definitely going to show you another side of the story. And there's going to be a situation in which you find yourself where there isn't service in an external way. Who's been through that? I'm surprised it's not everyone. Maybe you're a little bit shy. Or maybe it hasn't yet happened for you. And maybe it will. Because drama teaches us the lessons we need to learn at the time we need to learn them. And so I suddenly found myself from being in the beautiful, loving family of Bharat, surrounded by so much love and appreciation and everything so easy, suddenly in a desert, a concrete desert, London, and no center. The nearest center, 6,000 miles away, India. And Daddy had said to me, "You're going for service." Avyat Baba had said to me, "You're going for service." And there was no service. At least every door I was knocking on, it was, well, maybe not. Well, no. But of course, it was a fantastic lesson to let the ego come down. But also, to have me ask myself the question, why did I come to Baba? And when I had come to Baba, April 68, the service started October, but April 68 when I'd come, it was just purely because I'd fallen in love with God. And it was that very, very powerful experience of God's love for me and my love for God. And it was that love that made me say that nothing else in the world is important for me. Not comfort, not relationships, not anything. All I want is to continue to develop this relationship and this experience of God's love. And so when I found myself in a situation where service wasn't happening, I had to go back inside. And that was sweet drama, very sweet drama. Because just then, making sure that I had time for tapasya and I had time to appreciate all the treasures inside that Baba was giving me. Nothing to do with service, nothing to do with other people, just internally. And of course, that doesn't last forever in the sense that drama gives you a time for tapasya, but drama also then throws you onto the battlefield again. And this is what Baba was talking about in the Murali on Sunday. If Baba were to say to you, 1 month tapasya, 2 months tapasya, well, your body would be sitting there, but where would your mind be? And so, yes, tapasya, but then, yes, the involvement in service again, but with a different perspective. Absolutely knowing that he's the one who's making it happen, and also knowing that my happiness doesn't depend on the things out there. And so just think about how much God has given you already. The beauty of God's knowledge, the beauty of knowing God, the love that God is giving, but also, yes, happiness comes from good karma, and good karma can be in many, many different ways, thoughts, words, actions. And one of the things that Baba has often commented on, when you use things in a worthwhile way, then that brings you great happiness. However much you've used in a worthwhile way, you feel very content with that. And if even a little bit has gone to waste, then it leaves you feeling things are not quite right. It shouldn't have happened like this. Think about money, and you spend 100 rupees and whatever it is you've spent it on, but you've thought about it and it's useful, it's worthwhile and it's fine. But if you've lost 100 rupees, you can't remember where you put the 100 rupee note. You've lost it, you've dropped it, you don't know where it is. And it's gone to waste. And it leaves you with something that's going on here. It's a niggling feeling, a niggling thought. Why did it happen? What happened? And I'm talking about just physical currency, but we've been through that experience where we know that something wasted and it's not a good feeling. And what Baba's making us aware of is that the most important treasures that we have are the treasures of time and the treasure of thoughts. And before Gyan, nobody would have imagined that, well, I didn't, let me talk for myself. I didn't know that the greatest treasure that I have is the treasure of what's going on in my mind, my own thoughts. And Baba's made us aware that it's our thoughts that can be very elevated and noble, and that brings me happiness. Or if my thoughts are ordinary, and it's something that Daddy's been emphasizing whenever she's meeting a small group for whatever reason. For Brahmins to say negative thoughts, well, maybe we've left that behind. And anyway, we know that that's dangerous. But even waste thoughts. Somebody asked me the other day, what sort of waste thoughts can come when you're engaged in service? And I said, well, it's a huge area that can cause an enormous amount of waste. You're spending your time in service, but service becomes a big arena in which to think about others, to think about what went wrong, to think about why it didn't happen the way it should, or even if I'm not thinking about anyone else, just thinking about me. And did people like it? Did people not like it? What happened? You know, lots and lots and lots of areas for waste thoughts. And Baba's been telling us a lot about that and how waste thoughts drain our energy, but waste thoughts take away our happiness. A few moments and the train starts, and before you catch it and stop it, then already time, energy, and your happiness is gone. And then to bring it back takes a lot of power and a lot of determination. But not even waste thoughts just ordinary thoughts. That has been focusing our attention on making sure that our thoughts are not mundane. Our thoughts are not ordinary. And it's very interesting in terms of how we see ourselves. And if I see myself as just human, then yes, physical needs and ordinary thoughts. But if truly I see myself as God's child, as a student of God, as one who's following Srimad, a follower of God, but more than that, as an instrument. When I think of myself as an instrument, then I know that my thoughts have a ripple effect on many, many others. Anyway, thoughts have an effect on others. But especially when you have the awareness of being Baba's child and Baba's instrument, and I think everybody here has that faith, then in that awareness, then my thoughts are very, very valuable. My thoughts are going to cause an impact in many different ways. And so to let my thoughts become ordinary means I'm losing out on huge fortune that Baba's opening the door for. Imagine if there was a lottery and you had all the right numbers, but somehow there was something that was missing. Maybe you'd forgotten to actually register it. It's come up and you've got the numbers, but somehow it's not been registered. And you think to yourself, my goodness, a fortune that was in my grasp and somehow it fell through my fingers. And the same thing here. Here's Baba offering me huge fortune, and just simply through lack of attention, that's it. I understand, I realize, but just simply lack of attention, and it's slipping away out of my fingers. And so really just simply to have the attention of what God is giving me and the fortune that God has offered me, and the degree of happiness will rise, but it will stay. It won't disappear. So using things in a worthwhile way, my time, my thoughts, and of course whatever other resources I have. And the soul feels very content afterwards. This was a day that was worthwhile. Or this was half an hour that wasn't worthwhile. When you've had a conversation with somebody, after the conversation, just spend a moment reflecting. What was the value of that conversation? What was the significance of that conversation? And if it brought me closer to Baba, if it brought the other one closer to Baba, you feel very content. And if it's just been courtesy and exchange, and which is fine for a minute or two, but if it just carries on that mundane, ordinary level for longer than a minute, you begin to wonder, what's going on? What am I doing? And so to use whatever it is I have, to use all my treasures in a worthwhile way, brings great contentment and happiness. I think we could make very easily a long list of all the things of realization that can bring great joy and happiness. It's Sangam Yoga, it's time to go home, we are God's helpers, we are creating a new world, all of these things. But I want to spend a few minutes now just looking at the other side of the picture. Well, how come there's all of this supporting me and giving me happiness, and how come it's not constant? And Baba reminding us constant, 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 many times this season. It's an indication to me that Baba seeing that we're not maintaining it constantly in the way that Baba wants. And so, what happens? Why is it suddenly, instead of being up here, I come down? And yes, of course, Brahmins realize that it's what's going on inside, it's my thoughts. But what is it that suddenly changes the quality of my thoughts? And Baba talks about introversion and extroversion. My thoughts out there, for any reason, and I'm going to lose my energy, I'm going to lose my power, I'm going to lose my happiness. And so just simply where every Murli is reminding us of soul consciousness, my attention focused inside, and just simply that attention, what's going on inside of me. And if I maintain that attention, I'm going to be able to maintain my happiness also. When I give space for other people to come inside my head, I'm thinking about other people, good or bad, impressed or not impressed, but if there's space in here for others, again, attention out there instead of attention in here. And so it's this again that makes me lose my own power and give away my happiness. I have to deal with other people. Baba told us it's karma yoga. It's not just quiet sitting down alone in a corner yoga, it's karma yoga. And so karma means interaction with others all the time. But what is the impact of my interaction with others? Is it that after I've had whatever it is I need to say and do, and then that impact is staying with me and is occupying my awareness, that's then the influence of others on me. And holy has a very nice meaning, the colouring. And in Hindi, sang ka rang, and in English, you're coloured by the company you keep. And so when they sprinkle colours on you, it becomes very external and a bit challenging. But it's actually the reminder of God's influence on the soul, God's company colouring the soul. And if I've allowed somebody else to take the place of God, and it's going to be human beings I'm thinking about, as I say, good or not so good, whatever it is, but it's human beings that are influencing me. They are going to color me with their weaknesses or their ideas, their opinion. And what's that going to do for me? If I'm coloured by humans, I've again gone off track, and instead of allowing God to influence me and God's ideas to color me and God's instructions to influence me, then the color changes away from spirituality, and the human influence allows all sorts of other things which I'm trying to deal with emerge within myself again. I need to have God's influence on me for a very, very important reason. Only God's influence allows the highest within myself to emerge. No human influence can do that for me. I'm impressed by somebody because they are very good. Sunday's Murali was very powerful, very clear. You're impressed by a human being and they're influencing you. And instead of your own highest potential emerging at that moment, you're thinking about them and you're coming under their power, their influence, and you've given away your power at that moment. And God's influence, God's power working on me, and that which is the highest within myself is emerging, and I'm able to allow the best in myself to emerge. And so anytime attention out there and the door opens for others to come in here and human influences begin, then again it's the swing. Maybe a moment of joy, but next moment there's going to be some sorrow or grief that comes in. And so if I want to maintain my own inner happiness, then definitely the one key is stay inside, stay introverted, and keep watching what's going on. Another thing I want to mention, which is going on in here, when I see my own old sanskars emerge, and before Gyan, I didn't know the sanskars I had. How many of you knew about your sanskars before you came to Baba? Interesting. A couple of people did know. I didn't know at all. And even the first few years in Gyan was a honeymoon period and I didn't know. And it was only after some years that the sanskars began to emerge and I didn't know that I had those sanskars. It was a discovery. And of course, if you're starting in Kali Yuga and you're beginning the journey from Tamo Pradhan to Sato Pradhan, well, it makes sense that all of us have all the sanskars. Somebody told me just recently that so-and-so is very pure. I laughed. I really did. I laughed and said, well, I have yet to meet somebody. Yes, the dadis who've gone on that journey of purification. And you can feel the purity, you can see the purity, you can sense the purity. But here's somebody who's been a few years in Gyan, and you're telling me that they're absolutely pure, they're so pure. I really had to laugh. And I said to that person, well, is it your attachment to that person that's making you say they're so pure? And of course it was. And it was a Lokic brother and sister, so it wasn't gross, impure attachment in that way. But not true. We all start Tamopradhan, and there's nobody in Kaliyuga who isn't there. So everybody has all the different sanskars. And the important thing is to know that when my own sanskars are coming up, that's what's taking away my happiness. It's not this one who's responsible for causing me sorrow. Gyan tells me that that's just not true. Very old story about Gandhi. When you point the finger out there, three fingers are pointing here. And that's what Baba's telling us. I think one of the very powerful statements about Gyan that I really loved when I came to Baba was that I am responsible for my own destiny for the future. I loved that when I first heard it. But also, I'm responsible for my present condition. Nobody else at all. This idea of I'm responsible for my own destiny in terms of future, that's a very liberating idea. It's beautiful. My destiny is in my hands, and Baba tells us this. You write, you draw your fortune, the line of your fortune, the line of your destiny. Fact, absolutely true, very powerful. But then the other part of it, I'm also responsible for whatever destiny has brought me to this point. Now, that's a bit worrisome. We don't like that. Future, great, liberating. But this one doesn't feel so good, does it? Don't like to feel that I'm responsible for where I'm at. But actually, it's also liberating. Now that I know that I'm responsible, and it's nothing, no one, not even my parents or my infancy or anything like that. Baba has given me the understanding that whatever happened as an infant or whatever, I'm going to just take that up in a minute again, but whatever it is that's happened, it's my karma, my destiny. But today, I don't just say it's my karma, which is very different to the pessimism that sometimes is associated with karma philosophy. I'm responsible, I accept that, but Baba shows me how to be able to transform it, how to be able to work with it and elevate myself. Somebody came to Dadi and they were very, very distressed, and what had surfaced for them was whatever it is that had triggered it, but some great distress that had happened in childhood and connected with parents, of course. And so they were in Gyan a few years already, and Daddy asked them one question. Daddy said, "Who's your mother and father now?" And of course, Daddy's drishti and the power of Daddy's faith. Just that simple question. You're telling me the story of my mother, my father, this, and this. But who's your mother and father now? And Daddy's drishti changed something within that soul. And she began to smile. And Daddy said, "That's all you have to do. Remember who is your mother and father today. and not those other stories. And it certainly worked for this one. And maybe it sounds too simplistic. But the power of my own faith and the power of my own recognition of who I am, who I belong to, and what God is offering me today, and understanding that and reflecting on it and appreciating it, and it begins to change. And so we carry all sorts of memories from the past, maybe conscious, maybe a little bit below the surface, and things trigger those. But why does Baba say, Manmana Bhav, focus your mind on me? Why does Baba give us a Murli every single day? I don't know of another organization, spiritual organization, where there's a fresh lesson every single day. And today, of course, we'll say that, yes, it's written and it's being revised. But Sakar Baba, Baba spoke these lessons every single day. And with the days that Baba couldn't do the lesson in the morning, 18th January 1969, Baba gave a lesson that evening. Or sometimes we've heard the story from Daddy, the body wasn't well enough to speak immediately after Baba's operation, and Baba dictated and the lesson was written, and still the Murlis went out. Baba saying, the children need fresh food every day. And so the tools that Baba's giving me to enable me to create the right thoughts, to have an attitude which is based on Baba's knowledge, based on truth. If I remember Baba's knowledge, if I remember Baba's Murli, if I fill this with Baba's Gyan, then I'm able to deal with whatever it is that happened in terms of my conscious past or the past of this birth. Then the sanskars, the past that I'm carrying from many births. And yes, when those sanskars surface, a lot of sorrow comes up. Sorrow of the self. When it's my sanskars and I realize that it's me, it's my sanskars, it's very painful. And Baba's given us the remedy there. Take Baba's love through yoga. Focus your mind on God and really spend time in yoga. And the power of yoga will change those sanskars and finish them. Something that causes a lot of sorrow, if not only do those sanskars come up in terms of my thoughts and my feelings, but if I allow those sanskars to come through into action, that really does take away my happiness. But again, Baba tells us very, very clearly in the Murli, if I've made a mistake, Baba's taught me how to deal with it. The process of realization, acceptance, the process of seeking forgiveness through honesty, and through that, being able to surrender it to Baba with a deep commitment of transformation. And through that, Baba will remove the burden, and my own good karma today, my transformation today, will settle the things of the past. And yes, maybe before Gyan, one mistake and it was one and one. One good karma, one good result. And after Gyan, one good karma and a thousandfold result, a thousandfold fruit. Baba has told us that. But then it works on the other side too. One mistake and a thousandfold pain. It's a reality. Why? Because now my conscience is awake. Previously, it wasn't. And so, one and one. And God wasn't in the picture. Now, God is in the picture. And so, one good karma, thousandfold fruit, but one wrong action, and a thousandfold pain. But it's not God hitting me on the head and beating me. It's me doing that to myself. We beat ourselves up. And what Baba's saying, okay, child, the role of Baba, the merciful one, the compassionate one, is still going on. How long Sangam Yuga is going to last, I don't know. Nobody knows. Baba hasn't given us a date. But I do know that time is getting shorter and shorter. But the role of God as the merciful, compassionate one, the ocean of forgiveness, still continues. And so Baba says, I'm willing to forgive you, but are you willing to forgive yourself? I'm able to forget, but you must also learn to forget. And through your transformation and your good karma today, you're able to remove the imprint of your mistakes from the minds of others also. I'm sure many of you remember that Murali in which Baba said, if there's one bout of anger, other people remember it for 6 months. Right? And they're a little bit wary, or maybe very wary, a bit scared to come close to you because they don't know when it's going to again blow up. But if today I've changed through my realization and my transformation and my honesty with Baba and I've settled things and I've changed, then that transformation is visible and others will notice that and it will remove whatever was the impression that is there in their hearts too. But I have to change and I have to forget my own past and my happiness again will return. And so my sanskars cause me sorrow, but Baba's teaching me how to deal with them. My mistakes take away my happiness, but Baba's told me how to deal with that. One last thing I want to take up, and it's not the end of the story, of course. The list that is a very beautiful thing to do for your own self personally. All the things that Baba has given you and the things that drama has given you to make you happy. Just make a list for yourself and you'll keep adding to the list every day. Try it and see. Believe me. You just keep adding to it and it'll be very intoxicating and beautiful. And the other side, well, what's taking away my happiness? Again, you'll be able to identify and then you'll be able to see what are the solutions Baba's given. Yesterday that he spoke about how if I've made a mistake, then there's fear. And if there's animosity in my heart against anyone, yes, then there's going to be fear. And fear and happiness, they don't go together, do they? Think back to the moment when there was fear, whenever. Could you say you were happy? Doesn't work. And so to be able to really take Baba's company and support and examine what is it that I'm afraid of. The mistakes I've mentioned, but my dependencies. Because when there are dependencies, then my fear is that there'll be a loss. And so to be able to deal with those dependencies also, and to be able to have such a connection with Baba in all relationships, on all levels, so that the happiness that comes from each relationship comes to me. And I don't have to depend on anyone or anything. And that freedom, independence, liberation is a very beautiful way to stay happy. So, a few thoughts on the subject, but I hope that you'll explore the subject yourselves and find the key for you to keep your happiness stable so that other people don't touch it, don't take it away from you ever, ever. And the reality, if I'm happy, service is automatic. If I'm not happy, who's going to listen to me? If I'm not happy, who's going to want to eat the food I'm cooking? So any type of service, not just words, but physical karma. I'm sweeping Baba's house and I'm doing it in tears or with a frown on my face. And I'm a Cinderella and people feel sorry for me. But I'm sweeping Baba's house with a big smile and I'm happy. And people see the joy that I'm appreciating my fortune. And they'll say, come, let me do something too. And it'll be attractive and they'll want to help also. And of course, Mansa Seva. What vibrations am I going to spread if I'm not happy? It's not going to be very useful, Mansa Seva. It's not going to be Seva, it's not going to be service. And so, if I want to be God's instrument for any type of service, thoughts, words, actions, what's in me is what I'll give, is what I'll share. And it'll multiply and come back again. Baba's been reminding us of that beautifully. So, a big, big lesson from this season's Muralis. Constant, constant happiness. And give happiness all the time so that then you can receive even more.